Ladies and gentlemen,
it's that time again. Y'all strap in. We got a good one for you today. It's Walker the Walker. Let's get into it. As always, ladies and gentlemen, y'all know we don't own copyrights in none of the music. We just like the vibe of the jazz flow. That was Boney James, After the Rain. One of his good doozies, in my opinion. I like listening to jazz. Most young people don't, but it's very soothing to me.
You ever notice After the Rain how everything seems so somber?
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
The good rain. You just hunkered down.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just seems so mellow.
So calm.
At Boney James.
Oh, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Walker the Walker. I'm your man, Lou Walker. Sitting across from me is the OG himself, OG Joe. OG Joe.
Hey. All
right, y'all can calm down now. Stop it.
Thank you, folks.
How you feeling today, OG?
Well, I'm feeling grateful, man, because we have witnessed some horrific weather.
Yes, we have.
You know, and we've been blessed to
survive that.
Yeah. You know, so all my prayers go out to those that are been affected by it.
Right.
And hope you you all experience a speedy recovery.
Definitely. You know, coming all the way as far down as, you know, St. Pete, Tampa, you know.
Right.
The Key West area, going up to Tallahassee took some hits. Pieces of Georgia took some hits. South Carolina, North Carolina took some hits. So, yeah.
Tennessee
took some hits. It was a crazy hurricane season.
So far,
you know, and it really makes it hard for me to brag about where I am.
Yeah,
because,
well,
you know, consecutively
for granted.
Right, you know? Right. Consecutively, it was aimed at us and still managed to miss us. So, you know, that just tells me, like, all right, now every day that a hurricane misses us, or anytime any kind of horrific weather misses us, you know, don't take that day for granted.
Yeah, it just increases the likelihood of it getting it the next time.
You know what I mean? But, you know, in those places, you know who I expect to see first, or, you know, who I expect to speak on those cities that need rendering would be these candidates for presidency. I feel like as soon as North Carolina took a hit, Trump or Kamala Harris should have been the first ones there.
It would seem, but to me, I think anyone, well, with her being a candidate for president, may be okay, but I don't think anyone should have responded before the president.
Exactly.
You know, the president, they should have given him, because, look, man.
I ain't gonna lie, I forgot he was even still active.
Well, you know, look, it's still his country.
Right.
You know, so let him take his stance first, you know, because nobody want to hear the rhetoric. You're really not, as a candidate, you can't tell me anything. You can't do anything for me.
Man.
You know, you can't release FEMA. You know,
seriously.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a valid point.
Yeah, you know,
candidates
so,
don't really have no power.
Not at, you know.
We're going to make sure that everything gets rebuilt. It's like, how? You're a candidate.
You know
like,
what I'm saying? You have no power right now, so.
I get you. But even still, just to know that, you know, going through such catastrophic proportions, to know that the candidate was there to sit there and say, you know, as your president, you know, I'll be first here as always. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been a good kick, you know,
right,
what I mean? My personal opinion. But what's on tap for today, boss?
Well, we're going to continue on, man, with the U.S. Constitution.
Let's go.
And we're all the way up to Article 2. Can you believe it?
I mean, I can. We've been rocking with this kind of. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I really hope that some of our teachings have helped you understand how the government works just a smidgen.
And look, this is something that we like to discuss
on our spare time.
And we don't want to make you think that we're the scholars. We don't want you to feel like that we're undermining your understanding.
Right.
We're just having a good conversation. And for those people that don't know, this is for them.
Right. Exactly. Know? Because at the end of the day,
there's somebody that doesn't know.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
And we just want to enlighten those people that don't, refresh the memories of the ones that do.
And to your point, also, before the show started, you mentioned that this was, this article particularly was more pertaining to what's going on currently.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, as we embark on to Article 2, it actually reaches the people so that they understand right before voting time. Let's get right, y'all.
So this is timely. What I like about it is it wasn't a planned journey. You know, it just panned out this way.
Right.
You know, so... So, yeah, we're Article 2 of the United States Constitution, Section 1. And this is, you know, where the president is given the power of the executive branch of government.
Okay.
You know, now
he, now, this is outside of martial law, I'm assuming, right?
Well, if you have to employ or deploy martial law,
okay,
you know, this would be right down his territory, right in his territory.
I hear you. Okay.
You know,
okay.
Because it, you know, if we had to go into war,
right,
say,
right,
then we have to go through Congress and all that stuff before, you know, we can execute.
Okay. Okay. Know?
But the president is. It has the power of the executive branch of government. Article 2 has also discussed the procedure for electing and removing the president from office.
Okay. So, okay. And just to clarify, so when you're saying the removal or the acceptance, this is like on the off chance that this Article 2 is being enforced, correct?
Yeah, well, here's what happens.
Okay.
Supposing you have the president as they try to impeach.
Okay.
25th Amendment, I believe it is, you know, where they found that he's not capable of fulfilling his duties, you know, for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, so they employed the 25th Amendment. So if the president meet his untimely demise, you know, if he's is cognitive or whatever the situation is that causes him to have to be removed,
right?
You know, it also provides the guidelines for the power and the responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
He shall be, and this is why I say this is a refresher or a reminder or. Just to inform some people that, and everybody knows that he's the commander in chief.
Right.
You know, everybody knows that. And that's probably all that most people know of the president and his or her position of authority.
Yeah, because I will say that kids today do not really register presidency or government. You know, governmental processes, they like none of these things are really taught first through fifth. You know, these are things that are taught sixth all the way to 12th, and then in the college, if that's the major that you want to go through. But this is definitely something that's gonna, you know, put everything into perspective for most of our American people who are not aware of what's going on.
Well, if you're a member of any organization, a community, or a country.
Okay.
You know, it shouldn't be unbecoming, you know?
Right.
To know how things function, mm-hmm. you know, it seemed like it's a given. You know, hey, I'm a part of this organization, so I need to know how this works, even on your job.
Right.
You know, how can you feel like a productive individual as a body member?
No, seriously.
And you don't know how it functions.
Exactly. You yeah, know what seriously.
That? Yeah, you know.
Because I was actually speaking to the wife about this on one of our tapings of Lou and the Queen, where, you know, she's a first-time parent. So she didn't really know the guidelines of the Department of Education. It took me telling her, I said, do you realize that Florida just passed a bill that gave us access as parents to the curriculum all year? Mm-hmm. And she was like, I didn't know that you never had it. I was like, exactly. Like, that's the issue that we're having in today's time, is that we have manipulation due to the lack of the lacklustered readings of the Constitution or our rights as a whole.
Well, and that's true, but here's just, you know, to exemplify what I just mentioned.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, as a parent with a child in public school or right. in private, charter, wherever they may
right.
attend,
right.
you know, you need to know how this thing functions.
Yes.
You know, because you, although you're not the student, but you're the parent, so you have to be able to understand how to handle situations that arrives in the schools.
Exactly. You know?
And so parents, and that's why I used to love the PTA meeting.
Yes.
You know, yeah, I don't know if you remember the principal, Pinter, was it?
Mr. Pinter.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had way more parent-teacher conferences than I care to, you know, to admit.
But the open house.
And they still do the open houses. But the thing is, with Mr. Pinter, what separates him from any current or modern-day principal today is that when Mr. Pinter was doing his thing, when I was in elementary school, he also had the authority or the law had bestowed upon him the power to whoop us if permitted by the parent.
Yeah.
And we've had so many assemblies during my fourth grade year, so many assemblies of this man showing us a broken paddle. And I'm sitting here like, all right, how many of us are being stupid? Like, what are we doing? Now, one of those paddles, he did admit that the mom came to the school and broke that thing off her son. Like,
ouch.
But going back to just how hands-on, not just how hands-on parenting was, but how hands-on being a principal was, how hands-on being a teacher was, versus now it's like you're not even allowed to read certain books.
You know, I take our M's with that, because what's happening in Florida, the parents are trying to steer and guide the education for the students.
Right.
You know, along with the governor, of course.
Right.
And I think that's really not a good approach.
You think so?
I don't think that's a good approach. So here's why I say that.
Okay.
Is because the Department of Education, mm-hmm. you know, these guys sit down and they do all the research and they understand your mental ability at certain ages. Parents don't know this. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know what particular course of learning is good for a fifth grader. Mm. You know, but these guys, man, that's their specialty. You know, they're almost like psychologists.
Yeah.
In fact, the APA, American Psychological Association,
right.
you know, this is one of the things that they take part in.
Right.
You know, so I don't see why the governor, DeSantis, feel that the parents have rights to determine what their kids should be taught in school.
Okay.
That's not their responsibility. Their responsibility is to get the kid to school, get the kid home, get the kid's homework done, and get it turned in.
Now, to your point, I will agree to a certain extent. Because there are a lot of parents out here that are really trying to guide the curriculum based on emotion.
Well, that's why I say they need to keep those emotions to themselves.
However, I do not disagree with the approach. I only disagree with the knowledge that the approach comes with. Would you say the same thing if that parent had an extensive knowledge of human rights, the way the Congress is running, or anything of that nature, to say, okay, you're teaching my kid red fish, blue fish, instead of financial literacy. This is a problem. Like, would you?
That's the extent.
Right. But that's the only extent.
That's the extent.
But that's the only extent that I get.
So you get to complain.
Right.
You get to complain. That's why we vote.
Only if you vote. Yeah. You can complain. You can't complain if you don't vote.
If you don't vote. So if you don't like a certain curriculum.
Right.
Okay, fine and dandy. You're entitled to your opinion about it.
Of course.
But the Department of Education says, we know better how to structure the minds of young adults, young children.
But see, now
more
that...
So, well, because see, here's what most people don't realize.
Okay.
Is education is like building blocks.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and you can't take a kid from first grade and all of a sudden start teaching them algebra.
And I get that.
We got to learn to add, multiply, subtract, divide.
And I get that. But the problem that I'm having with the APA is, yeah, you guys have a nice logistical status based on all fifth graders that you've interviewed. Okay. But what about the other fifth graders that you didn't interview? What about the ones that are suffering from a single parent household versus a two parent household? What about a single father household?
Please don't bring that issue to me, because I'm anti that issue to the hilt.
You know? Let's tap into Article 2. Cuz this is I feel it. I feel it, OG. Well, we're going to get parental rights.
Let me tell you this,
because change the title to parental rights.
You remember I was grading for the FCATs.
Right.
I was grading those scores.
I remember that.
And we
You could have passed me, by the way. I'm just
we observed.
Right.
Through black and white, you know, writing, black and white.
Naturally.
That we learned that the elementary school children perform superior.
Than any other.
Yeah, to your high school.
Purest minds.
They cannot write a complete sentence to save
Their life. Yeah, of course.
You know, but at any rate, so that's why parents need to let the Department of Education guide the education.
But that's why you have 12 grades. I mean, you don't expect a third grader to be able to write a thesis paper on, you know, humanality.
Well, no, you don't. But you don't need a parent to come over here and say, I don't want you teaching my child this. This is what I'd rather you teach them.
I get that.
Because, you know, that's not their profession.
And I agree to that only so long as you have the knowledge. If you're going to sit there and you're saying, okay, why are we teaching our kids sexual education when 78% of the students don't care for sex? Why is that a life lesson for them at that point? Not to say, ladies and gentlemen, that that's the actual numbers. That was just a number I threw out. That was just a scenario I threw out. But the question still remains, like, I would understand you saying, okay, not sex ed.
Well, see, here's and when you start, and we're going to get off of this after this.
Oh, for sure. Please close it out, because this is getting weird.
Because when you speak about sex education, you know, most people don't understand that much of that course is about the anatomy.
Right.
You know, it's not about the physical activity.
Yeah, of course, you know? Of course.
We're going to teach you about your body.
And a lot of people definitely miss that because, you know, sexual, when I took sexual education, everybody just wanted to know, where do we stick it? But the downside of a man just
we're going to teach you the proper words for your anatomy.
I'm even going to go a step further. We're going to help you understand why a woman has bacteria, why a woman menstruates once monthly, and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, but at the end of the day,
that's sex education.
Right. Yeah. All right. So Article 2.
So the executive branch implement and enforces laws written by Congress.
Congress.
That's so you know, the Article 1 gave Congress all of that power.
Right.
You know, they can write these laws.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so the executive branch has the ability to enforce laws written by Congress.
Okay.
Okay.
So just to kind of bring the people back, because I know they're still kind of awestruck on the last topic, but you said the Article 1 spoke on the laws that were created by Congress.
Congress was given
the power to create the laws.
Right.
And now Article 2 speaks on the president enforcing said laws.
The executive branch.
Oh, the executive branch.
The executive branch.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, implement and enforce laws written by Congress. The executive branch, when you think executive branch, I think probably more in terms of the president, appoints heads of federal agencies, including the cabinet.
Right.
So the president's cabinet is, you know, he appoints those people. The cabinet and the independent federal agencies are responsible for day-to-day enforcement and administrations of the laws. Day-to-day, this is what they do every day. You know, they make sure all the laws are being adhered to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take something like the environmental agency.
Right.
You know, they do all this research, and we're going to try to get on this climate change. You know, we're going to try to lower the temperature of the planet.
Okay.
And these are the avenues that we'll take with renewable energies.
Right, right.
You know, so we implement all these things. Now, they make sure that, you know, everybody's on board, as many as agree to it.
Right.
You know, because I don't know why we're so blind to this energy thing, man. Why are they so blind to climate change, man? Can't you see it's destroying the planet, man? You got fires just burning up, you know, virtually the whole state. You got hurricanes and tornadoes and mudslides and,
oh man,
you know,
typhoons. And as much as I would hate to go off topic, but, you know, it's one of those things where if you're not physically seeing, because you'll hear the scientists, you'll hear all your Green Party candidates and members, they all speak on how the ozone layer is enlarging. The whole of the ozone layer is enlarging as the years go on. And
we're getting cancer from it.
Right.
Australia wanted to sue everybody, you know.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, okay, when you tell a regular individual, I'm going to call him a citizen. You tell a regular citizen, there's holes in the ozone layer, and that joker look up. And he go, well, the sky look the same to me. He can't believe what you're saying. Now, to your point, you have to look at nature a little different than how science looks at nature. When science looks at nature, they'll grab something, put it under a microscope, they check the molecules, they see how everything kind of correlates as far as with that particular item. You, on the other hand, have to take a step back. You have to now see, okay, last year we had no forest fires, only California. And then, whoa, 2018, 2019? The entire Australia continent was on. The entire continent was on fire. You would never hear that from any other, you know, from any other circumstance in life.
And as much as the rainforest is needed.
Yes.
You know. So here's what puzzles me. This is what puzzles me because, you know, the president, the president has to endorse science.
Yes.
They take, and when they take oath, because as we move on through, you'll see that that's part one of the articles of the Constitution, where they have to uphold
the oath. You know,
the oath and science is included.
Right.
So when the scientists come and tell you, look, we overheating the planet.
Right.
We're not doing it intentionally.
But we are.
But it's happening.
Yep.
And guess what? The things that we're doing, we can curtail some of the activity to lower.
Okay, now I'm going to...
Now, are you willing? That's what the where the question comes in.
I disagree.
Well, no, that's the question.
No, that's the question that they have to ask. I give you that. But for me, the question that you have to ask is there a small chance that the science experiments that y'all are proceeding with, because I believe they're trying to recreate the Earth's core, they're trying to reenact a lot of the ways that the Earth has came about just in case that ozone layer rips up and we got to move to another planet. But the question is, are the scientists the ones that are actually tearing the ozone layer apart?
So all they do, and if you and let's just take it from something something we can kind of put our hands on.
Okay.
Science. So you remember that little experiment you did in school with the baking soda?
Yep. In the volcano.
In the volcano. Yeah. You remember that little experiment?
Right.
So how did they know that baking soda would erupt like that? See? They do the experiment.
Right.
They do the experiment. They don't just come up with, you know, concepts or beliefs.
I get you.
You know, first they have a theory, you know, and they prove their theory.
Much like the board, the cardboard that we used to go to school with. You got your hypothesis here.
Yeah, and hypothesis and your theory, and then you get your results. But see, these scientists dedicate their lives to saying permafrost. Okay. Permafrost was, you know, sometime 500 feet below Earth's surface.
Right.
You know, in the coldest places.
Right.
Now, when we start to heat up the planet, you start to see permafrost because the ice is starting to melt and exposing it.
Right.
So what's causing it to heat up? What's causing the ice to melt? The planet is warming. You go to Iceland, you know, ice is melting. What do you think going to happen when all of those... icebergs decide to just melt? Where the water going? It's going to flood your oceans.
Yeah.
See, because it's cold there now and it's keeping the ice at bay, so to speak.
Right.
You know, that we're staying above sea level for now.
Okay.
But see, that's part. Now we got to deal with the carbon.
Right.
You know, and science have shown them time after time after time after time that's one of the major problems, you know. But when they burn down the rainforest, that's why the rainforest is so desperately needed, because it captures so much carbon. You know, it doesn't have time to go up. Right. And creates these catastrophes.
So, you know, president obviously got to acknowledge the science side, but what else we got?
The cabinet and the independent federal agencies are responsible for the day-to-day activities okay. and the administrations of the federal laws. Name a few of these departments. The one that most people are very well familiar with is the Department of Defense.
Right.
Okay.
DOF.
DOD. Yeah, DOD. And of course, that has to do with your military.
Right.
Okay. And he has to make sure, because he's the commanding chief.
Right.
He has to make sure that the Department of Defense is well-funded, you know, for the protection of the country.
Right.
Then you have the Environmental Protection Agency. That's what we just got through talking about.
Right.
You know, these scientists, man, they again, you know, they dedicate their lives to proving the point. You know, and they're not just saying this is a hypothesis or a theory now. These are a matter of facts.
You're right, right.
You know, so let's get the EVs going. Let's get the solar panels up. Let's get the windmill turbines turning.
Let's stop fracking. Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, fracking. No. Fracking is another one that's, well, drilling, period.
No, seriously.
You know, yeah, drilling, yeah. Fossil oil is enough because it helps create the carbon.
Exactly. That's why I said it.
Yeah. That's why I said it. There you go. So it's the Security Administration.
Yeah, we know that.
You know, that
they're going to be out of a job here real soon.
Well, we're hoping that security continues, because here's what the plan is with your millionaires, your billionaires paying their fair share of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to fund all of these programs
that exactly.
you just mentioned
exactly.
so far. You know, so you know, if the Harris-Walt administration have their way, then we'll continue to see Social Security. All these, because he wants, you know, her competitor wants to get rid of the Department of Education.
Yeah, I read that.
You know. So how's that going to work for disadvantaged individuals when it's time to go to college?
So the question that I have at that point, when because, you know, I'm not one that will just cancel out a president, you know, electing or running. But when you're telling me you're going to diminish the Department of Education, what does that mean? My kid don't have to go to school no more?
Primarily, the Department of Education, as we think of it most often, first has to do with, you know, all the grants for disadvantaged individuals trying to get into college. Then we look at, because what people don't realize, a lot of the funding, you know, for public schools even.
Right.
You know. These are grants. They receive grants from the federal government.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you think, your Duval public school system, they don't make money.
Right.
You know?
So especially now with this stipend new guy got.
even if we had given him a Honda, you know, they still don't generate revenue.
Right. So
the monies that they have comes from the federal government.
Exactly.
You know, so if you get rid of Department of Education, okay, now what you're going to find yourself doing is creating a whole new agency so that you can continue to fund public schooling.
Gotcha.
You know.
Now, if it's okay with you, I'm going to put a pin in that because I got a question at the end of the show that I want to use. But let's keep rolling on Article 2.
So, yeah, Security and Exchange Commission, that's your stock market people.
Right, which they're hoping for Trump.
Yeah. And here's where, if I had to put together a conspiracy theory,
okay,
I could really put one together on the Security and Stock Exchange.
Yes.
Because how is it? And that just kind of helped me put this into perspective, that a certain person sitting at the helm can generate so much activity on the stock market that his counterpart can't. So something there.
I get you on that.
You know what I mean? I don't want to get torn. You know what?
Right. But no, that's a valid thought. Like, oh, so you think just because, you know, Trump's the one mentioning it that Harris can't do it?
Well, we didn't see it rally so much as it had.
Well, it's not a priority for her.
Well, no. What I'm saying is even with so here's the thing.
Okay.
If the activity on the stock market, the stock exchange, if it's going to rally up or down, it shouldn't matter who sits in the Oval Office.
I agree. I get you.
But outside of that, the Congress, they sets the guidelines for this exchange, for this agency.
Okay.
Including the armed forces. The executive branch employs more than 4 million employees. So that's his workforce.
Okay, 4 million.
4 million. That's the president's workforce.
Now how many of them illegal? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I have to say, none of those 4 million are illegals.
Well, hell, you work for the government. I would expect you to be a citizen.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know. So there, we won't dig.
As far as we know.
Look, yeah, because somebody might have paid somebody.
There's a housekeeper in there that ain't got papers.
I don't want to get into that. Right. I don't like.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's all jokes. Don't get mad at me. Don't cancel me. I'm a goofy person at heart, I promise.
According to the Department of Justice,
okay,
the Office of Legal Counsel, sometimes you may see the acronym OLC.
Yes.
Which has a developed body of opinions on the foreign exchange of emolument clause.
Okay.
Office of Profit include those that receive a salary. In other words, what this is saying that you cannot hold any of these offices if you're going to be in one of those administrations. Mm. You know.
So what do you? Oh, so in other words, you can't work for JSO in Nassau County. Gotcha. Right, okay.
So now, that leads us to this thing that we've been kicking around until November 5th.
I should have used a better analogy. If you play for the Lakers, you can't play for Boston.
Well, somebody did something like that one time.
What, play for the Lakers and Boston? Nah, but you can't really use that because in the NBA, they got two-way players. You got players that play in the G League and they also play in the NBA as well. So, yeah, no,
but that's two different leagues, but both of them are for profit. So what they're saying is you can't work here
and then get money.
Yeah,
I get you.
Yeah. So we're...
They don't want us to get paid. They don't want us to be men of many hats.
So we're now going to...
Go ahead. I'm going to ask that question at the end. Because I was curious as to why is it that a political office holder is not allowed to work for two different branches?
Conflict of interest for the most
However, part. A regular citizen can work two jobs.
Well...
Wouldn't that be a conflict
sometimes,
of interest?
Wait. Yeah, it could be. Now, it depends on your occupation.
Job field?
Yeah. Okay. It depends on what you're doing.
Now, what is...
So, if you worked in the lab for Budweiser...
Right.
You can't go work in the lab for another beer company.
Okay. So, I can't work for Pepsi and Coke.
No. Okay. Not if you're... Not if you're dealing with... confidential information.
Ah, get you. Now, so the higher up the chain.
Yeah. Okay. You may be able to merchandise for both of them.
Okay.
But if and I would even take it up a notch, if you're a manager,
right,
you can't be a manager for both.
Because you can always hinder productivity from that standpoint.
Well, what do I learn from your company as a manager?
Your ins and outs.
I may take that over to the opponent.
So, conflict of interest.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Exactly.
Let's keep going.
So we're in the voting season right now.
Right.
And we've already said that everybody need to go to the poll.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And let me tell you.
Early registration's underway still. Go ahead.
And let me tell you, not just, look, go to the polls every 4 years, but go to the polls every 2 years too, guys, because this is what you're missing. You're missing the route to electing your president.
Right.
When you don't go and vote on midterms,
right,
you know, you're letting your fellow citizens vote for you, and they're voting on electors.
Right.
When you go midterm, that's why it's important that you go and vote at midterms too, because they're choosing electors when you go vote midterm. So now each state, now this is we're still dealing with Article 2, right?
Right.
Each state shall appoint a number of electors equal to the number of senators and representatives that each state may be entitled in Congress.
Okay.
So we know that there's 538 representatives.
Right.
Okay, in Congress, in the House.
That's a lot of employees.
Yeah. So, yeah. And guess what? They all fall under the president.
Which is weird, because they make the law.
but see, that's why, you know, I've said previous conversations that you can't just be the president for your party.
You got to be a president for the people.
Because guess what? Your people are in both parties.
Exactly.
All these people work under you.
Yes, sir. You know? Yes, sir.
So why are you going to look down on a Republican or look down on a Democrat? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In this crazy thing, red and blue states, that's something
else. It's a topic for a different conversation, a different day.
Yeah, yeah. So we say that each state has sent two people.
Yes, I remember
to
that.
To Congress.
Right.
Right?
On what? Like the second Monday?
Yeah. the first Wednesday following the second Monday or some crazy.
Yeah.
You know. But, wow.
And you can only wear blue.
Yeah. The electors shall meet in their state.
Right.
In their states, and vote by ballot for two persons.
Right.
Okay. One of the persons cannot be an inhabitant of their state.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
So now for Florida, I know Florida has 30 electors.
Right.
You know, and I'm going like, wow, Florida got 30. California got 54.
Yeah.
Texas has, it was smaller than California. California has the most. Texas has like 40, I believe.
Okay.
And there are several other states that have at least three.
Right.
You know. And one of those persons has to be from a different state that they vote for. Each state has as many electors as it has representatives and senators in Congress. So, having said that, the state of Florida has 30.
Right.
Okay. And without getting into the technicalities of this thing, it's not, they're broken up by parties.
Right.
You know, and I think there was like a 9-16, 9, something like that split, you know, for the state of Florida.
Okay.
Each state has as many electors as it has representatives.
Now, the electors, they're represented by counties, or is it just cities?
By your state. See, this is why I tell you, you need to vote on midterms. You know, sometimes when you go for midterms, you get to vote on for electors because they're officials in your state.
Right.
And if you don't know who's on your ballot, you know, then guess what? You're going to send more, if you're a party animal, you're going to send more people from the opposite party when you don't go vote.
Right.
You know, so.
And trust me, when that R and that D next to their name don't help.
No.
When you don't know what they're representing.
There are two senators from each state now.
Okay.
But the allocation of seats in the House of Representatives varies based on population.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so the more people you have in your state,
oh, we finna be
more representation.
We finna get some electorals then. Well, this state is growing.
Well, it is. It really is. I think they actually picked up one additional seat for 2024.
Okay.
You know, California did as well. But at any rate, that's where it's going to make difference. California has the most populous. It's the most populous state. And as I mentioned earlier, they have 54 electors.
Right.
Okay. 48 states have a winner take all. Now, you're probably going like, okay, what do you mean winner take all?
I mean, like majority of the electorals in that state.
Voters.
Okay, so the majority of the voters in that state, what did they
make? So just like it happened with Hillary.
Okay.
And for 2020.
Right.
She won the popular vote.
Ah, but she lost the electoral vote.
Yeah, she had more people to vote for her than her opponent.
Right.
You know, so in previous times, and there's been about five times in our history of the U.S.
Yeah.
That the populace won the presidency.
Right.
Okay. But the candidate with the most votes gets to go to the next phase, if you will.
Okay.
So
the second.
This is a majority wins.
Right.
You know, supposedly. So we're learning every day that the majority doesn't necessarily win.
Not necessarily, because you know, I wish people would understand. But these are the contradicted things that why people oftentimes say my vote don't matter. Because even on a straight and narrow thought process of Hillary Clinton won the popular votes in California and still lost the state. You know what I mean? Like, that's why a lot of people would turn around and say that their vote doesn't matter.
And so. When we talk about electorals, let's understand something about that term, because a lot of people don't understand what
a lot of people that, don't
what this them. Electoral college is all about. And then,
let's talk about why their votes matter more than folks.
Well, let me just say this first, though, while it's fresh on my mind, that the battleground states.
Okay.
You got seven of them.
Right. That's where the real heat at.
Well, what's actually happening there is not that these states has a high number of electors. It's just that these states are in the opposition of one another. They're either a red state or a purple state.
Oh, okay.
You know, she's going there to try to turn it back blue. And he's going there to try to keep it red, you know. So that's why they're considering Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada.
You mean all the states that don't care about all that stuff?
and Wisconsin. Those are the battleground states. I mean, I tell you what's happening there right now in those battleground states.
Mm.
Their marketing department is just getting filthy rich. Because they're spending millions of dollars. Man, this woman she has in her war chest like over $1 billion, man.
Yeah, you know? She getting money.
Yeah, and
it'd be upsetting if she didn't take on the dub.
So let's look at what this elector thing is all about. The electors have the discretion to choose the candidates they vote for.
Right.
But in a particular practice, they vote for candidates that wins the majority.
Okay, yeah.
So you see that? You see that? So now it leaves a question to what happened in 2020, you know?
Now, that's a valid question, though, because if she did indeed have the popular votes in California, how did she manage to lose the state?
Well, we don't know yet. We'll find out. Okay. The body of electors chosen from each state to elect the president and the vice president is called the Electoral College.
Right.
Everybody know that.
Right.
Electoral, however people don't know, is the name, is shoo-in, as it is a relative of elect. It is a relative of elect. Okay, so we can kind of figure that much of it out.
Right.
But you might be wondering why college runs after it.
Right.
Okay. As mentioned, electorial is relative to the familiar verb elect.
Right.
Which is from the Latin electus, E-L-E-C-T-U-S.
Okay.
Okay, so we got to put this together now. And if you're not an English major, that's okay.
Right.
Because I'm not.
Me neither.
But the past participle of electra, E-L-I-G-E-R-E.
Okay.
Okay, meaning to elect, to select.
Mm.
And formed by the prefix e, which means out. Okay?
Okay.
And the verb legre, L-E-G-E-R-E, this will make sense by the time I get to the end of this, means to choose or to pick.
Right.
Okay? So we've been able to put it together so far.
Right.
Now, but we're going to go back to the 15th century because elect and elector are voted into the English lexicon. That's how we got the word. And it didn't come to us until the 15th century.
Right.
So elections started in term earlier in the 13th century.
Right.
Electoria and college became official running mates during the late 17th century,
mm-hmm.
which is also the period when the adjective itself gained popularity. Then you, most people would so most people would say, "Well, why we add college to it?" And this is kind of neat to understand because most people are going like, "What's an electoral college?
Right?
You know, is that a place somewhere?
Right?
You know." The term college is enrolled in the Middle English, and so we recognize that in Middle English.
Mm-hmm.
It is a transfer from Anglo-French.
Okay.
That is ultimately of Latin origin.
Okay.
Okay. It is from the Latin name from society or collegium. C-O-L-L-E-G-I-U-M,
mm-hmm.
collegium, in both Latin and English.
Okay.
Is a society of colleagues. That's all it is, a society of people that are working in the same industry
right.
for the most part.
Right.
Your colleagues.
Right.
Okay. Like electoria, college is related to colliga, C-O-L-L-E-G-A.
Okay.
Okay. And that's to, And that was, so that's the Latin, legare, L-E-G-A-R-E.
Okay.
Okay. But it is in its sense of dispute or delegate.
Okay.
Okay. Or to send as a deputy.
Okay.
Five times in the U.S. history, presidential elections, the popular vote did not prevail.
So this has happened more than once.
Yeah. Yeah. This happened in 1824, 76, 1888, 2000, and of course, 2016.
Oof. That's saying something, yo.
In 1824, John Quincy Adams, elected by the U.S. House of Representatives under the 12th Amendment. So it happened to him.
Right.
So they have to go through another phase off of voting in the House.
Right.
And they take the top five candidates to make those votes, to do those votings.
Exactly.
So that's why the Electoral College, because it's just a group of people.
Yeah. You know? That can agree with or override the popular votes.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, mm-hmm. So.
Which tells me that they're making their own history up there.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, but,
no, you're right in the broad sense.
Yeah, in the broad spectrum.
Because look, it happened five other times.
Right.
Well, but actually, three other times.
Few and far between, though.
Yeah, and it should really. Personally, I don't think it should ever happen.
I agree.
So, what are the chances? Because this is when it may happen again.
Okay.
What are the chances that both candidates end up with 269 electoral votes? That's 538.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens at that point? Okay.
The same thing that happened the last time.
Well,
they didn't want that type of electoral college scandal.
Yeah.
They just lose the Florida votes.
Then,
I jumped the gun. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish up.
No. I mean, but that's, you know, that's just kind of how this thing ends. So you have to kind of understand that your electoral college weighs heavily on who sits in the Oval Office, because now I looked up our electors for Duval County, for the state of Florida, and I found your mayor.
Okay. Which mayor? We talking about Donna?
Donna Deegan.
Okay.
I found Donna Deegan as an elector.
Oh, she's an elector.
Yeah. So look, when we go to the midterms, we have to vote for these midterms, man, because these people are getting chosen to do these jobs. And if we don't put them in there, then you may end up with all opposing parties running the show.
And to mess around and be out here talking about how your vote still don't count.
So that's why you're living in a swing state today.
I agree.
You know.
Now to wrap it up. I said I was going to put a pin in it. I was going to ask you at the end of the show. Okay, we were talking about how former president wanted to eliminate the Department of Education. Do you believe that has a lot to do with the reason why there's a lot of school closures in these upcoming years?
No. No, well, because I looked at why the challenge of closing the schools.
Okay.
And there are several variations or factors.
Okay.
One, many of the schools are aging out.
Right.
You know, need massive repair.
Right.
So it's less expensive
to just close the school.
To close the school and consolidate others than to rehab that school.
Okay. That makes sense.
Another factor is
okay.
is the demographic is aging out. Now right. You don't have as many school children in a certain
geographical
area.
I get you.
You know.
So all of that ends up making sense at the very end of it all, because you got to be able to have the people, you have to have the building, you have to make sure the health is there. So I get that. Ladies and gentlemen, every 2 years should be a vote, especially if you right. care about how you live it. Not every 4 years, because again, we've said it on several episodes, the president is an important election, but it's that Congress that makes your life. So y'all make sure every 2 years y'all are out there doing these, what are they called? Midterm votes?
Yeah.
Midterm elections?
Yeah.
Make sure y'all start tapping in on those. That's your mayors, your governors, your
senators,
your congressmen. Those are the ones where you want to sit there and say, I don't know why they passed this amendment for. It's because we voted them in the seat.
And your judges, how many of you know a judge?
Ooh. I'll be honest with you. I know zero judges.
Most people know zero judges.
Right.
Look, only thing they know about judges, stay away from them.
Look, I ain't staying away from none of them. Because at the end of the day, guy's going to tell me if I'm guilty or not guilty. And if I crack him a joke, if I make him laugh, he'll have a soft spot for me.
I'm going to stay out of his courtroom. That's what I mean, stay away from him.
With a judge? Yeah, man. Look, allegedly. Allegedly.
What's up,
George?
I plead the fifth.
Right. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, man, you've been tuning in to Walker the Walker. OG, what you gonna leave them with, man? What you leaving them with?
Well, you just highlighted it.
Oh, well.
You know, really and truly. Listen, guys, we are not done with this election.
Right.
You know, and here's what I like for each and every one of you, of whatever persuasion, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Tea, Party or whatever. Talk to your neighbor.
Definitely have a conversation.
Share your understanding. Listen to theirs. See, so what you're looking at in, and it's going to be dreadful if we have to go back.
Right.
I was just looking at an article yesterday where this one young lady said, oh, if everybody agrees, I think we should go back to slavery. Mm-hmm. And I'm going like, okay, so that means you, as a Caucasian, gets to be a slave too. So that's what you want. You go ahead and go.
Right.
We've been there. We don't want to go back.
Right.
You know?
Y'all have technically been there. Y'all don't want to go back.
If everybody votes for it, I think we should go back. I'm going.
But at the end of the day, I feel like people like her don't realize that white Caucasian people, as you would say, were also slaves.
Yeah, they
but no disrespect, and no disrespect to the race. You guys weren't the cream of the crop, because if you was, we would be obsolete.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm not racist. OG's not racist.
I just hate stupid.
We're allergic to that.
I hate stupid. I have zero patience for stupidity.
Check this out. I'm coming up with a slogan for the company name. I'm, you've been tuned in to Walker the Walker, sponsored by Walker the Path Media Group. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. I like it.
Say no more.
Y'all stay blessed out there, man. Love, love, love.
That's good. I like it. Whether you think you can or you can't.
You're right.
You're right.